Amen. God works miracles. Amen. We've been talking about some of that in the sermons here the last few weeks. We're going to go right back to Matthew 16. Again, we are going to be in the same place talking about becoming the church. Amen. How many of you believe that Jesus taught his disciples for a specific reason? He wanted him to do the things he was doing, amen? He wanted them to become the church that he was coming to teach them to be. So let's pick it up. Verse 13 of Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that Father, we can stake our claim. We can put our faith and our trust in the fact that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that on that revelation that the gates of hell will never prevail against your church. So I ask you, Lord, help us. Help us to see how to be your church. How to be your hands, your feet, your mouthpiece in our communities. That your name would be lifted up and magnified. That your name would be glorified. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we've been looking at the Church of Acts, and you've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again. We don't want to read about the Church of Acts. We want to what? Be the Church of Acts. We want to be the church that Jesus has called us to be. Amen? And the only way we can do that is to know what he expected of us, what he taught us, what he came to earth to be the example for us to be. Amen? And then to become that example for others. So we want to pick this back up. We left off in Acts 4, I believe it was, and we were talking about how the my mind's going so fast I can't slow it down to think. We were talking about how the apostles had been brought before the Sanhedrin. They were brought before the priests, and they were told not to speak in Jesus' name again, right? And how that when they left out of there, what did they do? They went back and they hid themselves and they prayed, "Oh God, help us." Not quite. Amen? They went out rejoicing and they started praying, "God, give us more boldness." Amen? Give us more boldness. Let us be as bold as you are. Let us be your mouthpiece. Let us be what you want us to be so that the world that you died for sees you. Amen? So we're going to pick this back up in chapter 5. And we're going to talk about how they were brought before him again, and They threw them in prison again. Isn't that just like the world? Try to shut you up, try to throw you in prison. Still happening today. How many of you realize that in the United States today, we have individuals who are being arrested for preaching the Word of God? I forget which state it was. Here just a few weeks ago, there was an elderly pastor. He's older than me, so I can call him elderly. An elderly pastor, and he was preaching. I believe it was Ireland. And he's been preaching all of his life. And all he did is share on John 3:16. Now, how many of you know that John 3:16 is probably the most well-known scripture in the entire Bible? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. How can that be offensive to anyone? Yet, someone complained. Someone complained, and he gets charged with preaching on John 3:16 because he was close to an abortion clinic. See, the truth sometimes offends those who don't want to hear it. And that's the same way that the apostles were fined. And they had thrown the apostles in, they were getting ready to throw them into jail. And in verse 28 of chapter 5, the word says that, actually let's start at verse 27. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. So here they go, they set them, bring them before the council again. So the high priest asked him, did we not straightly or strongly command you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled all Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. See, that's the problem. We allow fear to step in and stand before us and get between us speaking the word of God, sharing the gospel, the good news, and our friends and relatives and family. And it, because of that fear, we allow it to shut us down. But you see, the apostles, they had walked with Jesus. How many of you are walking with Jesus? Amen? If we're walking with Jesus, we ought to be realizing that Jesus was not quiet. He shared his love with everyone. It's getting awful quiet in here. Jesus wasn't quiet. He came to show us how to live our life to glorify the Father. It just enraged the religious. You notice it didn't bother the Romans. You notice that? The Roman soldiers didn't come and arrest them. It was the religious people. It was the ones who should have known. It was the ones who had been given the truth. It was the ones who had studied the truth. They should have realized that the Messiah had come. But, oh no, they were indignified because these unlearned men were taking their spotlight. Oh boy, I'll tell you what. It was something else. So they called him before. They basically put him on trial. And one of them stood up and said, hey, wait a minute, guys. No, wait a minute. You got to understand this kind of stuff has happened before. And if it's not of God, it's not going to go anywhere. But if it is of God, then you're going to be fighting against God himself. And so, you know, they weren't sure what to do, but they agreed with him. So what do? Verse 40, it says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Now this is an interesting concept here. They were rejoicing in the fact that they were beaten. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what did they do? It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You remember how I was talking about how there's so many out there today that are saying the church as we know it is no longer valid. The church is we see it in the corporate realm, it doesn't touch people. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash because they don't want you in church. It says they were daily in the temple. What is the temple? The temple was the church. Amen? They were in church daily teaching. They were in households daily teaching. I'm not saying that, you know, being in the household is wrong. What I'm saying is we need to have understanding, especially when we talk to people that say, oh, no, if it's not a home church, it's not of God. Because that's not the way the first church was. So we pick this up in chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied. How many of you want to see the church multiplied? The number of disciples multiplied. We need to get out of our fear and walk in being a disciple and realizing that our job is to disciple those who come after us, to share the word and make more disciples. In our district bishop is always saying, make disciples that make disciples. And that's what it's all about. Amen? The problem is we see somebody once a week and we don't talk to them the whole rest of the week. We don't do life together like we used to. Everybody's too busy. How many of you ever called someone and said, hey, I need a hand, I need a favor, whatever the case was. Oh, I'm too busy, I can't. 5, 6, 7, 8 people, who knows? How many of you have ever been there? Of course, it happens to all of us, amen? Now, I realize we can't help everybody that calls every time. You know, we do have a life. But people today just don't do life together anymore. We go our separate ways, and we don't see each other until we come back. It says, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So in other words, they were having a grumbling. How many of you know that if things don't go just my way, I want to grumble? Amen? If I think the carpet's the wrong color, I want to grumble. I want to murmur. I want to say somebody was wrong. If the chairs are not right, I want to grumble. I want to complain. I want to murmur about things. This is what was going on. They were grumbling that they didn't think that the needs of their people were being met. But the word murmuring is the Greek word gangusmos, and it means a grumbling, a grudging, or a murmur. In other words, something that is meant to tear down, not build up. How many of you know we're called to build up people? Amen? There's just so many things that just don't matter. So the apostles, they come together, and it says, when the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the work of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So here's the apostles. They're looking at what we can do to see that everybody's taken care of, and things were just too busy for them. Amen? Sometimes doing the things that everyday things that go on in the church is too busy for the pastor or for the pastoral staff. Amen? That's why we have all of you volunteers. How many of you are volunteers in this church? Come on, you're in charge of ministries. Look at all those hands. Praise God. Because I guarantee you, if I had to do it all, or if my wife and I had to do it all, it wouldn't get done. Not even 1% probably. That's just the way it is. And that's what the apostles were facing. That they knew they couldn't do it. And so they did the same thing they did in Exodus. In Exodus, you know, Moses was so overwhelmed by all the problems that people were bringing him that he was wearing himself out. And so he goes and he talks to his father-in-law. And his father-in-law says, Moses, you're doing too much. Put it on somebody else. Get you some helpers. Amen? Get you some helpers. And things started working out. So Moses got him some helpers. And so that's what the apostles did. Now notice what the qualifications were here. Honest men of honest report. Now when they say men here, we're talking women also, okay? Of honest report. In other words, that they had a knowledge of them. They knew they were honest individuals, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It's not a one-man show. It's not a one or two man show. It's the entire body coming together and doing the work of the ministry. Well, I got some amen there. There we go. So this is what takes place. And it says the saying pleased the whole multitude. Verse 5. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the a proselyte of Antioch. Now notice that they have a proselyte here, a Gentile, already. And when they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see what was happening here? People were speaking about the glory of God, the fact that now our sins can be forgiven. They can be taken away. No longer is everything by the priests. They were sharing the good news of the gospel. And people were getting saved. It was multiplying. See, I believe in multiplication. I don't believe in addition. I believe in multiplication. Everybody will say, well, one or two is okay. No. We need to multiply. That's what happened in the New Testament. That's what happened in the book of Acts. They were multiplying daily. But you see, when things start happening, when the Holy Spirit start moving, when people start getting saved, when people start getting filled with the Holy Spirit, when people start getting healed, all of a sudden the religious around them are going to get a little indignant, which is exactly what happened here. The religious started getting indignant. And they didn't like the fact that someone that wasn't trained up in their little system was getting some recognition, was seeing people saved. They were doing the work that God had originally told them to do. Amen? How many of you realize that when God took Israel out of Egypt, He never told them to not share of His goodness and grace. He told them to be a witness and a testimony in the foreign lands. Amen? Okay. Just so we're clear on that. So, a great company of the priests even became obedient to the faith. And in verse 8 it says, and Stephen... Here's Stephen. He wasn't even one of the original 12. Stephen, full of faith and what? Power. Full of faith and power. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit is about being filled with the power of God. Amen? It's not about all the other things. It's about being filled with the power of God to be a powerful witness. Stephen, filled with faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, do you read that? This is Stephen. He wasn't an apostle. And he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Why? Because Stephen was probably a lot like me. Just simple enough to believe the word of God. Just simple enough to believe it. Well, if God said it, then let's do it. Amen? And so he's doing all these great miracles. And said, then there arose certain of the synagogue. Oh, here comes these religious people again. Which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Religious always want to argue with the power of God. Amen? Always want to argue with it. Oh, that's not for today. That's not for today. That was only for the apostles. Now, wait a minute. Stephen wasn't an apostle. So if it's only for the apostles, where did Stephen get it? He got it from the Holy Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit that's the power. Amen? And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So here we have Stephen. He's getting an all this stuff, and he's doing all these miracles, and the religious people of his day, they're just getting all upset. Oh, they're taking our spotlight, amen? They're getting a bigger group together than we got. Whatever their excuse is. But they were getting indignant because someone who wasn't of their little group was moving in the power of God. So Stephen, he's debating them back and forth. Now, I'm not much one for debating. I all the time tell people, well, if that's the way you want to believe, you just go right ahead, but I'm going to believe how the Bible tells me. It's just as simple as that. You can believe it how you want. I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. I'm not going to argue with them because I found that arguing with them doesn't do any good. Because most of the time they've already made up their minds, amen? Now, if they ask a question, I'm happy to answer it. But if they just want to argue with me, I'm just not going to do it. So at the end of all that, verse 54, chapter 7, at the end of all this discourse, I mean, Stephen took them through a whole long history, everything that had happened. And he took them through this whole long history. And here in verse 54, it says, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Hebrews 4 tells us that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, amen, able to pierce asunder the dividing of the bone and marrow. Why? Because the truth always cuts deep. We need that truth. We need that cutting to our hearts to cut the sin out of us so that God can heal us. Amen? You guys are pretty relaxed back here tonight, today. They were cut to the heart. And it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. This word gnash is a primary verb, and it's broku, and it means to grate the teeth in pain or in rage. They couldn't get over on Peter to Anybody ever seen that with someone? You know, you got someone is just so mad at what you've said, they just, that's what they were doing, because they just weren't able to get the lie to overpower the truth. Amen? And so, this is what happens. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, oh, I like that, being full of the Holy Ghost, amen? I like being full of the Holy Ghost, because when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I have the power of God, and I don't have the fear of the enemy. And Stephen was the same. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. He's just giving them the bare truth, and it's cutting to the quick. It's causing them pain. It's causing them anguish. And they just stop up their ears. You know, like little kids. I don't want to hear that. Cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now picture this, because this is the first martyr. He wasn't even an apostle. He was just someone who simply believed the word of God and followed it. Amen? But he had no fear about what he was doing. He had no fear. The enemy couldn't come over and overpower him. Why? Because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the power of God upon his church. Amen? So Stephen, his last act on earth is to follow Jesus. Think about this. He's down on his knees. He's having stones thrown at him. He falls down on his knees. Hope I can get back up. He falls down on his knees and he's crying out. He's got to be in pain. He looks up. He says, God, lay not this sin to their charge. The same thing Jesus said when he cried out, Father, they know not what they do. And this was Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost and power and wisdom that only he can bring. The first martyr, he wasn't even an apostle. That ought to tell us we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be sharing the word of God. We need to be sharing things with our neighbors. I'm not saying we're out there pointing our fingers at them and shaking our finger and that kind of thing. I'm saying with love to share with them the love of God. The love of God that takes away their sin. The love of God that establishes the way to go from death unto life. And it was just an ordinary man. Just an ordinary man. He wasn't even an apostle. Can you imagine that? You'd have thought it'd been Peter or John. But no, it was an ordinary man that God chose to glorify in this way. But it didn't stop the word. It didn't stop the church from marching forward. See, the only thing that stops the church from marching forward is us. Because I am the church. You are the church. The only thing that stops us is us. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's not to lift me up. It's to let you know where things stand. When they told us we had to close the church because of COVID, and you know, we were pastoring in California. How many of you know California's not the nicest place to be that way? They're kind of against the church. But when they told us we had to close the church, I called our bishop. I said, Bishop Cox, I'm not going to do it. I'm not closing this church for 1 minute. And we didn't. Fortunately, I wasn't one of the pastors they came and arrested. But if I'd allowed fear to step in and say, we got this nasty thing going on, and the state says, I got to close, what would have happened? I don't know. But we cannot let fear drive our decision to follow Jesus. Amen? We cannot let fear of the government. We cannot let fear of rejection. How many of you know that's the biggest reason most of us don't witness much? Because we're afraid we're going to be rejected or called names or whatever the case is. We don't let fear of rejection. We don't let fear of imprisonment. We don't let fear of any kind dictate who, what, when, where, or why we witness for Jesus. Amen? So things are progressing. They see that the stoning of Stephen pleased the religious around them. And so a young man that they laid the coats at his feet by the name of Saul, we see him come into the play here. And Saul, he gets all, they like this. Let's get rid of all these guys. And so he goes to the chief priests. He says, hey, you give me letters, I'll take them to all these other cities. We'll just throw them all in jail. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about this and I think, well, how big were their jails anyway? You ever think about that kind of stuff? How big were their jails anyway? Because it was multitudes coming to Christ daily, amen? But here's Saul, he's gonna go and he's gonna arrest all these people. And persecution starts coming, and the church is starting to scatter, and all these things are happening now. And so Saul, he's on his way to arrest all these people. We're going to pick this up in 9 and verse 1. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So picture this. Here's Saul. Now, here's one of those things that is not in the scripture that we always picture. Saul's riding this horse, right? And he falls down off this horse. But nowhere in the scripture does it say Saul was on a horse. It just says he fell to the ground. So we don't know if he was walking. We don't know if, if anything, was probably on a donkey, because horses were left for the Roman soldiers. It's just the way it was. So he falls down and he hears a voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Anybody remember when they had to ask, well, who are you, God? I remember. Before I was saved, I didn't know God. How do you know? Who are you, God? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So picture this. Here's this man. He's got all this power. He's got all this authority to take the church and to lock people up and bring them back to jail, bring them back to prison. Most likely for the purpose of execution. And the Lord simply puts a stop to it. How many of you know Sometimes the Lord just puts a stop to the bad things we're doing. Amen? And I praise God for putting a stop to the bad things I was doing. And Saul, he has no clue what's going on. And so he goes and he heads to the city, the same as the voice that he had heard. And it says the men, now listen to this, the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. Do you think God was trying to get their attention? Even the men with him heard the voice. They heard what was said, but they didn't see anyone. Why? Because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? The only thing that's going to allow it to hinder us is us. The only thing that will allow Satan to stop me is me. So we go on down, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now here's a righteous man, Ananias, a disciple. Now, whether he was in Jerusalem before that and was one of the ones scattered, we're not told, but here's Ananias. He's a righteous man. And the Lord literally tells him, go to this man that wants to destroy you. How many of you think you might question God a little bit? I probably would. I mean, let's be honest. Probably would. And Ananias did. He says, oh, wait a minute, God. I've heard of many of this man, how much evil he's done to the saints of Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name. The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What if I was Ananias? Would I follow through with what God told me? Or would I allow fear? The fear was real. Amen? Ananias was very clear. God, do you understand what you're asking me to do? Sometimes God asks us to do things that aren't comfortable. Amen? Sometimes he asks us to do things that don't seem like they're the right thing to do, but when God asks us to do it, it's the right thing to do. Is God asking you to do something you've been reluctant to do? Maybe there's a person in your life, a friend, relative, a coworker. God's been prompting you to go tell them the truth of the gospel, and you've been reluctant. Maybe it's God saying, you know what, you've got a talent here. I need it in the ministry. whether it's full-time or part-time, or whether it's volunteer or whatever. I need that in the ministry here. Go. Let's do some work.